Hey everyone, I'm Madonna Guy and this is David Shiel.
Hello, everyone.
We're going to be talking about a few things today, but there's been a new change to polycystic ovarian syndrome, so that's just going to be very, very briefly as part of this whole thing called MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome.
Right, because the poly.
The polycystic ovarian syndrome name has changed to
Right.
metabolic reproductive syndrome, going back about
So
10,
that's
12.
just for girls, but MCAS guys can have it too. Right,
Absolutely.
okay.
Every man, woman, child, dog on the planet can have it. Absolutely. So, but the fun thing is about the polycystic ovarian syndrome is going back about 10, 12, 15 years ago, I met a woman called Dr. Tanya Dempsey, and she's actually on the Gary Brecker show yesterday.
Right.
And it was so great to see her again because I met her. I had photos with her. If I could find them, I would show you, but I'm not going to be able to find them. Maybe I can. Anyway,
Okay. It's
so,
blurry.
but one of the things that she said at the time was that polycystic ovarian syndrome has nothing to do with cysts. And she believed it was part of this whole thing called MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome,
Cysts.
cysts.
Oh, like
So
the uterine
the
cysts.
concept is that you've got your little ovaries, and with polycystic ovaries, people build up these little cysts like soldiers in a row on the ovaries. It
Right.
can lead to infertility, it can lead to all sorts of issues. But even going back at that time, she was working in a clinic where her mentor at the time, now she's like a world expert in it, but probably because of her mentor and everything they've been through. And she was 8 years into it, I think, at that stage. So I think she's about 20 years into the research with mast cell activation syndrome. America was way ahead of it than us, you know, and even now, if you ask doctors about it, they've often never heard of the concept. So, firstly, with polycystic, anyway, we're going to go through what mast cell activation syndrome is. We're going to talk about some herbs and nutrients and all sorts of things. There are some links to the little GLP receptors that we've chatted about a little bit, particularly the GLP-1 and GIP receptors. Every mast cell in the body has got these little receptors. So, there's been some studies done with things like Ozempic and Mounjaro. They've got different names in America. But basically, they've been doing some studies and finding that that calms the farm in relation to mast cells. So anyway, so we'll get going.
Do some foods have those GLPs and GIPs?
Precursors.
Precursors.
So they have precursors to them, absolutely. So, and I've got some of that there as well, you know,
Okay.
so there's a whole bunch of stuff we're going to get through. So firstly about
Because I'm only bringing it because diet's such a big thing,
diet is huge.
and you
And
know.
we also talk about oxalates and histamine foods because they also can irritate mast cell activation. So anyway, we've got a whole food section coming up as well.
Sure.
So polycystic ovarian syndrome, like two of the core drivers are chronic inflammation and insulin resistance. So we chatted just before the show, a chicky babe in Australia, Sandra Cabot, wrote a book 25 years ago called Syndrome X. And that was when they were marrying together polycystic, and obviously
Yeah, I
anyone can have
remember that
syndrome
one.
X. It was about abdominal obesity. It was about blood sugar imbalance. It was about fatty liver. Polycystic ovarian syndrome was part of that little thing. And it
So
was
there's a
about,
relation with blood sugar
oh, yeah,
with
100%.
Marfan syndrome. Okay.
Because raised insulin ends up creating inflammation. And anything that creates inflammation can cause or be part of mast cell activation syndrome. Doesn't have to be, but we'll get to the where the receptors are in the body because it's really quite huge. So mast cells and immune dysregulation are increasingly being looked at as causes of things like metabolic reproductive syndrome or polycystic ovarian syndrome, but definitely with mast cell activation.
So, you know, from a counselling point of view, stress would be a
Massive.
major contributor.
Massive. Wait till you see where the receptors are in the body for these little mast cells,
Okay.
100%. Because it's mast cells are like immune system sentinels. So they help to make sure what goes in and out of individual cells is what should be happening. They're also neuroimmune communicators. So your whole nervous system connecting to your immune system. They're also metabolic sensors, so they're keeping an eye on our mineral levels and our blood sugar levels and our stress levels and our, you know, fat protein, carbohydrate markers, and you know, so they're also communicating all of that, and they also modulate our endocrine system.
Right, mast cells do all of
Mast cells do all of that, so they sit in every single organ system, which is why mast cell activation syndromes look random,
So
but they're not random at
mast
all.
cell activation syndrome is a fairly new thing. And I remember, you know, like new in the popular, because I remember seeing an interview on it about a year ago.
Ah, because some people are really unlucky in the COVID jabs, I think, triggered MCAS. So a lot of doctors have been talking about that.
Right.
So that's probably because I believe that there's been a lot of doctors coming out who are doing these tests
So
and
what's
finding
actually a, what is a mast cell then?
it's a white blood cell.
Oh, it's just a white blood
Yeah,
cell.
so it's a, yeah,
Are
it's,
all white blood cells mast cells?
no,
Oh, okay.
no, no.
What is,
So then, well,
is it a white blood cell that's mutated or damaged?
no, it's highly sensitive. So that's why a mast cell is one of your body's most ancient, powerful, and misunderstood immune cells. And once you understand it, MCAS suddenly makes perfect sense. A mast cell is the sentinel immune cell, meaning its job is to stand guard at the body's borders and respond instantly to anything that looks like danger. So counseling, this is where you're going to be awesome at this. So think of it as the
I'm just
body's alarm
looking for a
system.
metaphor.
Yeah, so well, they live in the tissue. So mast cells live in the tissues, not the bloodstream, which is a huge difference
Okay.
to some of your other white blood cells, and they sit where the body meets the outside world. So in your skin, your gut lining, your sinuses, your lungs, your bladder, your reproductive organs, your fascia, around your nerves, around your blood vessels, in the brain, the meninges and glial interactions. So they're positioned to react to the world within seconds to threats.
What type of threats?
Oh,
Like
like toxic,
stresses
well,
or,
stress definitely. That's why it's linked in with things like anxiety and
but
depression
also
and
with poor diet choices or lack of
yeah,
eating.
yep, and environmental toxins,
Right.
toxins in our food, pesticides, and all sorts of things. It really comes down. Once they get overactive, it's hard to calm them down.
Okay.
But mast cells also release lots of other things. So histamine is one thing, but it's also a whole bunch of stuff. But neuropeptides and heparin, and there's all sorts of things like leukotrienes and cytokines. Remember during COVID, people were talking about these cytokine storms. We had all these people's lungs on the front page of papers with, white shit in them. That
Yeah,
was a
I don't know.
cytokine storm. So they release a whole bunch of stuff, including things that people, so they're the first responders to all
Right.
sorts
Do
of
they make
things.
their way into the bloodstream too?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And they destroy the gut lining and but it can be anything, heavy metals and electromagnetic frequencies, chemicals, molds,
So
traumas.
why do they cause damage if they're a sentinel?
Because they're overly
Overlord.
producing them. Well, it's like just say you cut yourself and you end up with a whole bunch of white blood cells here and it's trying to help you to heal. So it's
Right.
bringing nutrients to and taking waste products from an area. If your body overreacts and starts releasing heaps and heaps of stuff and your body can't clean it up and take that stuff away, you can end up creating huge damage.
Right.
So one of the end results with mast cell activation syndrome can actually be things like growths in the body.
Oh.
So, it's important to have this stuff calm down. So does that answer the question with what? Good question. What are
Yeah,
all your mast
because
cells?
I was just thinking, because in psychology, somebody who's had a lot of chronic stress over time
Yep.
is called an allostatic load.
Right.
And so once the body's loaded with stress over time, that allostatic load can have a lot of side effects.
Yeah, and we call it the same thing in naturopathy, allostatic load, when it comes to pesticides and
Right.
environmental toxins
Oh,
and
okay, that's
electromagnetic. Yeah,
interesting.
so we use the same term. So these
So,
mast
with an
cells,
increased allostatic load, they're more likely to
yeah.
become overactivated.
Now, we were talking about epigenetics before the show as well. And epigenetics, you can end up having a mum or a dad with a hyperactive mast cell activate because it didn't exist 100 years ago. It's a new phenomenon because everything was more natural 100 years ago. So the body was eating what it had been eating for, tens of thousands of years, depending on which Bible you believe,
We're also becoming a lot more aware of everything. Like,
No. Everything is, no, I've got to say, having been doing this for 31 years, everything's harder to treat these days.
harder to
Things are
treat.
definitely getting more deep-seated. No, they definitely
It's
are.
not like that Ricky Gervais clip where he's saying when we were kids, it was like what was he saying?
Oh, about ADHD, people were
Yeah.
either dumb or smart or, a bit
But
thick.
now, and you try to avoid admitting anything, but now it's like everyone's put it, I've got it, I've got
Look,
it.
No, it's not like that because as our electromagnetic frequencies get higher, and they're getting higher every single year, our ability to get rid of them out of our body is leaving. We have more toxins
Which
in the environment.
will explain the increase in things like ADHD and that sort of thing.
100%. Yeah, because
And
epigenetically, we're being screwed.
I was talking about comedy a minute ago.
Yeah, I know. But 98% of disorders are about epigenetics. So the environmental toxins that are screwing with our bodies, making it so much harder for us to heal.
Yeah,
And I've chatted to
same for
lots of.
counseling topics that's similar to that, is that it's change because there's permanent changes made with chronic stress over time. Because it'll affect all of your systems, your cardio system, your
And
blood
also,
system.
the whole. Like going back 50 years ago when mums were more likely to be at home. So there was so much more influence over the children, by the time they left home. So, everything's tougher these days, and, they spend more time at school. We chatted about that last week. But anyway, so the mast cells, absolutely. Stress can be a trigger without a doubt. Toxins can be a trigger without a doubt. But once people start looking at it, at least their brain goes, thank God there's a bit of a solution because there are solutions. And some people will never grow out of mast cell activation syndrome because once it's triggered, it can be like a forever thing, just keeping it calmed. So,
Like if you develop some cancer or something.
And once,
The preconditions are already there.
yeah. And by the time we develop something like cancer, we've already damaged. At last time I heard, and everything's changing these days as more science gets done, but last time I heard it was at least 28 pro-tumor genes had been switched on.
Activated, yeah.
Yeah. So, and there has to be at least 14 on mum's side and 14 on dad's side in order to grow tumors. But lots of these environmental triggers can, deactivate our anti-tumor genes. Anyway, so how many cells respond to mast cells? It's a crap load in the body. So it's things like neurons, so everything to do with our nervous system in the brain, glial cells. Do you know about glial cells?
I've heard of it,
In
but not really.
so if you the quick little definition I like is that everything's so fast in the brain, but when the neurons die as we get older, because this is something that most people can understand, like you see old people and they might stand on a thumbtack or something, but it takes them a few seconds to actually feel it. That's when the nerves are damaged and the glial cells are what's left over to tell the brain that something's wrong. So glial cells do a huge amount of stuff in the body. There's this lymphatic system. They're involved in cleaning out the brain. There's immune system glial cells. There's all sorts of they carry messages around the brain. They do all sorts of stuff. So glial cells. So in other words, the brain is filled with mast cells. The endothelial cells are filled with every bit of your gut lining, every bit of your the smooth muscles is your uterus, your ovaries. In men, what smooth muscles do you guys have?
Boys.
Anyway, so I just haven't thought of it there. But the thyroid has a huge amount of mast cell activation syndrome. And how many women go from and men, but it's I think there's eight times as many women who get diagnosed with thyroid as men. But so thyroid cells have a huge amount of these little guys. The pancreatic beta cells, so it can be linked in with diabetes. Adipocytes, your fat cells.
Fat cells.
Fat cells actually have their own mast cell activation, mast cell
Adipocyte
medias.
is fat cells,
Yeah.
right?
Yep. And your gut epithelial cells and your immune
One's
cell.
fibroblast,
So they create muscle cells.
right?
And then your immune cells, your T cells, B cells, macrophages, and eosinophils.
Right, which if they're broken, you're more likely to get some cancer.
Yeah, that's right. We want those immune system cells functioning all the time. So that is why MCAS can look like anything.
Right.
So you can imagine, just about anything people walk into the doctor with.
Mimics dozens of conditions.
Now, this is new research about the GLP-1 and GIP receptors on the mast cells. So they did some studies in the States. I think Dr. Tanya, she was talking about it on Gary Brecker's show. So they basically looked at a couple of drugs, like I said earlier on, a bit like Ozempic and Mounjaro here in Australia, but they're called other trozerpine or anyway, basically the ones that people are doing the injections
They're
for
the
with
diabetes
weight loss,
medication.
diabetes, that sort of
Well, they
thing.
were meant to be diabetes.
But the reason they started trying these is because when they realized that mast cells have got GLP-1 and GIP receptors on them, by using these medications, the synthetic agonists of the GLP-1 and GIP, they started finding that the mast cells calmed down. So GLP-1 and GIP help to modulate some of the things that drive mast cell activation. So inflammation, cytokine relief, again, that cytokine storm that people talk about, metabolic signaling, which is involved in the diabetes and cancer and heart disease and all sorts of things. So mast cells aren't just immune cells, they're actually sensors. They're like little sensors in the body trying to check out what's going on. So that's why so many people end up having the big combination of things where, and they're off at different doctors for everything. And different doctors aren't trained to look at the big picture. So when they get into a specialty of, say, being a neurologist, they're only looking at the nervous system. Or your diabetic specialist is only looking at diabetes, whereas this can be the
Depending on
combination.
how good they are.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And that's
Yeah, that
important
because
to
like with
remember.
all types of practitioners, including counselors, there's ones that are good and some aren't so good.
Yeah, absolutely true. So that missing link can be between the metabolic stuff and the mast cell activation syndrome and the inflammation and polycystic ovaries, or what's it called? Metabolic reproductive syndrome, or whatever it's called, insulin resistance and nervous system dysregulation. So the GLP-1 activation seems to calm down the inflammatory cytokine release. So calms these inflammatory receptors. It improves the mitochondria, so you get more energy, reduces oxidative stress, and modulates calcium signaling, which is important. And the GIP, which I'd never heard of until a few months ago, helps to balance the insulin, modulates inflammation, and affects the adipose tissue mast cells. So that's the fat tissue that's really involved in metabolic syndrome.
Which is why they inject it.
Yeah. And that's why people feel calmer and less inflamed, less reactive, and more stable, which is very, very cool. But some of the other things that can be linked in, and you can imagine because it's the gateway between the universe and us, these little guys are, the sentinels.
And it's just for ordinary people, mast cells are kind of a bit like what was the word I was using before? A histamine thing.
Well, that's one of the
Part of that.
1,200 chemicals it releases, yeah.
But it's often the thing that's obvious because you'll get eczema and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So things like eczema and psoriasis are hugely involved. Allergic rhinitis, so people who just constantly have that post-nasal drip. Asthma is hugely involved in it. How many people they start getting asthma as soon as the weather changes and
I'm just thinking all of the things that people generally, because I don't have them on my genetic
yeah.
side, but my wife's genetic side, they have a lot of these issues, so they
Yeah.
take histamines for a lot of different things.
Now, the problem with that, oh, we'll just finish the list and then we'll
Just
talk about antihistamines.
traditionally.
So,
That's all I know about it.
no, that's cool. But chemical sensitivities, chronic sinusitis, and then autoimmune disease like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and Hashimoto's, and long COVID and post-viral syndromes. But the thing about, because it's important to mention about antihistamine, so the sort of really easy way, and nothing's this simple, but imagine you've got excess T helper 2 cells in your immune system. That is the histamine MCAS side of things. And when we take an antihistamine, what it is not doing is picking up the T helper 1s, which is your T helper cells. So your B cells, your T cells, your anti-cancer cells, you're not picking those up. So when people are taking anti-inflammatories, sorry, antihistamines forever, you're not protecting the rest of your body. So you feel better short term, but long term. And I remember about 15 years ago, I just had this weird time in my clinic. I was supporting people with cancer, and I had about four people in a few months who literally came in and said, "I've never had anything wrong with me. All I've ever taken is antihistamines, and now I've got fourth stage cancer." So it's not a cause, but it's not boosting the immune system and keeping the immune system active. So people think it's just a really simple thing, but it's messing with a whole bunch of other stuff in the immune system.
Because I don't know, because I've been married for 20 years, and over that time, I think we've had two packs of
Awesome.
antihistamines.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just
Oh,
like,
some people do it every day.
because I never used them, I didn't even know what they were, and
Yeah.
by that, because it was a sinus thing or a asthma-ish thing or an allergy thing or.
Yeah.
So generally for that. The only thing I remember as a kid was something called Physohex.
Oh, yeah.
That was an antihistamine, I think.
Don't remember that one. But MCAS can also be linked in with neurological things. So a lot of people who get, those histamine-y things, the sinus, the hay fever, that sort of thing, some of those people get chronic headaches and migraines,
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
and that's linked in with MCAS. Neuropathic pain, so nerve pain, brain fog, POTS, not being, that dizziness when you stand up from lying down, anxiety and panic, hugely linked in with MCAS, as well as hypersensitivity to lights and sounds and electromagnetic frequencies. So, some people, and I've only known a few people in my life, but they can't have a mobile phone on around them. And they can feel it if you've accidentally got it on airplane mode. They can still feel it. Like, it's really quite bizarre and interesting. And they're good learning tools for a naturopath, but it sucks for them, poor darlings. But yeah, so the hormonal stuff, again, women particularly, but this is across the board, men and women, but polycystic ovaries, endometriosis, premenstrual syndrome, perimenopause syndromes, menopausal syndromes can all be linked to MCAS. And then all sorts of things like your insulin resistance, your reactive hypoglycemia, having highs in your, hypoglycemia. So you've got those ups and downs all day long, just can't keep that blood sugar balance. The thyroid, the weight, the leptin resistance. So your body just isn't accepting that you've actually eaten a meal. You just stay hungry all the time. And metabolic
That's so all
syndrome.
of this stuff affects girls more than boys by about two-thirds.
Yeah, probably. Well, yeah. So,
Looking through.
and I would see way more women with these things in my clinic.
Is that because guys tend to like just
Put up with it?
put up with
Maybe,
it?
maybe.
With a lot of things, guys will put up with it.
And I do wonder if that's one of the reasons why men do live slightly less long than women, because women are
Yeah,
more
right.
proactive. And maybe because women.
That's an interesting description of what might be called resilience normally.
Being able to put up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it sort of sucks if you've got something. Like, I believe if you've got something wrong with you, you should go find out what's wrong. Because any little thing is a sign that your body's saying to you, go sort this shit out. What are you doing? Sorry, excuse the French. But it can also be linked with all sorts of gastrointestinal issues as well, because again, inside your digestive tract is the outside world. So that's why your mast cells are on the inside of your digestive tract.
Mast cells seem to be causing nearly every disease by the look of this.
It's pretty connected. So I've treated lots of people with IBS and SIBO, leaky gut, reflux, nausea, abdominal pain, and histamine intolerance. So they can't have things like the, lots of foods. But anyway, we'll get into some of those foods soon. But here comes the cardiovascular stuff. So it can be linked in with palpitations and blood pressure swings, flushing, endothelial inflammation. So, it can be linked with a whole bunch of cardiovascular things as well.
I really wonder how much chronic stress would be
It is
the
massive.
cause of most of these things.
It is
And
massive.
because the thing with chronic stress is when you're in the situation, it's pretty hard to get out of it
Yeah.
because it'll often be, reacted by a family member who you've really got to have for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I mean, there are obviously herbs. So, like even our
Or a
resilience.
work situation. If
Yeah.
you're going to work, you can't lose your job, so you put up with all this crap at work because basically you need your job.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I love things like, the MagCalm and the Resilient and the Relaxin and stuff like that. I had a lady once, I'm sure I've told this story before, but she came into the clinic. She'd been crying nonstop for a week because her husband had, gone off with her best friend of 20 years. And anyway, so she just felt like, what a surprise, her husband and her best friend had, really messed with her.
Not that uncommon.
Not that uncommon, unfortunately. Anyway, so I gave her Resilient and it muscle tested up at 9 a day. And within like 2 hours after the thing, she just didn't cry again. And she said, how is this possible, with these supplements? And it's because, Resilient, because it
You
calms
don't have
the,
resilient anymore.
it's stress and we don't have. That's the one where you want to be an axe murderer.
Okay.
Just joking, joking, joking. No, so Resilient is when you're calm, it calms the sympathetic nervous system, it picks up the parasympathetic nervous system, it picks up your feel-good hormones, it lets you sleep deeper, it calms those irritating thoughts in your brain. So it's really quite nice, but it's a minimum of 6 a day, to because there's so many herbs in it. When you have many, many herbs in a combination, you need more to get a therapeutic dose.
So that relieves it, but it still doesn't solve the external stressor.
No,
Right.
but it does give you the I don't give a toss mentality.
Well,
Yeah, which is good, so that then you can move on with your life a bit easier.
I don't care as an important statement in some contexts.
Yeah. Because you've got, yeah, because while you're still caring, you're still damaging yourself.
Yeah, the funny thing about caring, generally it's really good. Like empathy, generally it's just the best thing in the world, but sometimes it's really bad.
Well, you know, when we do the celestial circuit, you know, and often it shows up whether or not it's the left or the right side of the body is exhausted. And if it's third stage stress and it's on the left, that's the care factor is just totally exhausted.
Right.
Can't do it anymore. And whenever that shows up, and I say that to people, they go, "You are so
I was talking to my
right."
little boy the other day, he's 12, and he just goes, "I don't care, Dad." And I'm like, "Yeah, maybe I need to learn a bit of that."
Yeah,
He's
we get
about.
better at it. Yeah. It, yeah. But yeah, so but here comes a big one because there's so much online these days about Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. So this is a huge thing when it comes to MCAS. And because it's people with hypermobility, chronic pain, fascia inflammation, they often have POTS, you know, so they can get really dizzy and faint, but it's toxin overload in their poor little brains. It's toxin overload in their hyperactive joints. You know, their little bodies just really struggle, and there's very little research on it. And they try all sorts of medications because they're more likely to get many, many
With kids.
symptoms. Kids and adults, like I've got a whole family of them that. They all suffer in different ways.
What's hard with kids? It's hard to get them to take any medicine at all sometimes.
Yeah.
They just
Well,
say
that's
no.
why we've got some gummies here in the clinic called Inflammase, and they just have some antihistaminey sort of thing, so they do calm the mast cell sort of thing. And anything we do for the brain will calm the mast cells because you're absolutely right, stress can just trigger so much. But
Inflammase is popular because it's
Inflammase.
passion fruit
It's
flavor.
really yummy, yummy gummies. But what else causes it? So mold illness, chemical sensitivity, heavy metal sensitivity, and EMFs again. Chronic Epstein-Barr virus, Lyme disease, co-infections, chronic viral load, and post-infection syndrome.
Well, there's so much stuff there. It looks like we're all stuffed.
It's about calming the farm.
Oh, no.
It's calming the farm.
Did we get through that last one or?
Well, this is sort of, you know, why do they become overactive? Yeah, you know, it's sort of all that stuff like chronic stress and trauma. They're first on the lists, the trauma, you know, the common triggers.
So that means that counseling would be specifically good for this stuff because
Yeah.
if chronic stress and trauma, it's like you can take medications, you can even take strong medications, like the medical ones, and it's still not going to get rid of the underlying environmental stress from the
Yeah.
people around, where you really need to change your attitude and approach to how you manage your relations.
Yeah.
You know.
Like I had a friend yesterday and she's got a whole bunch of, you know, MCAS sort of symptoms. And she was saying she treats her body like a temple and yet she just has the worst luck in the world with her health. She's been damaged pharmaceutically over and over again. And a current drug that she has gives her kidney stones.
Right.
And, but that same drug, if she doesn't take it, then she's got all the POTS and the, you know, the
Right.
dizziness and fainting and stuff. So,
That
you
sounds
know.
like a funny analogy. Like, I remember an Indian story they were talking about. Everybody comes to the temple to get their sins absolved.
Right.
So the temple becomes like contaminated in a way, and you need the more saintly people to come and purify it again.
Yeah, right.
There's a funny thing with that. It's
I
like
love.
my body's a temple, but the problem is I've got all this toxic in and out.
I had at the old clinic because I love the energy of Om, you know, and actually it's good for our vagus nerves and all sorts of
Well,
things.
it's proven to be so good for your vagus nerve, and because some people don't like Om because it's Indian, the actual I think the best therapist in the world, the researcher, I can't remember his name, but just to quote, he goes, "You and he tried to do it without the Om, but they're trying to make that same vibration because when you do that or humming,
Yeah.
as soon as you do it, it makes your bones vibrate,
Yeah.
and that's an important part, vibrating the bones.
Yeah. Anyway, we used to put on a we had a 3-hour om thing, and we would just put it on overnight, especially when we had annoying clients in the clinic.
Right.
So we'd put it on
Oh, in the
loud
clinic
in the
while it,
clinic, when someone with bad juju came in. Anyway,
get the atmosphere humming.
get the atmosphere humming. Although I did have it on one day during, I had this guy called Pete working for me, and he was a funny dude at the time. He was old, he was about 50. And he said he was doing a massage one day, and the OMS came on. He said he wanted to jump out the window. He just hated it so much. Anyway, I thought that was funny. Oh, poor old Pete. Hope you're doing well if you're out there. Anyway, so natural ways to calm ourselves. So these are mechanism based, and so things like the good old sulforaphane.
As usual, broccoli's at the top of the
Oh
list.
man, I just love my broc on, or whatever we can do to get broccoli into us. So this is equivalent to like.
All the sulforaphanes, there's a whole bunch of them,
There is.
FODMAP's one of them.
Yeah, but anyway.
Look, if you want a low FODMAP one, you can use cauliflower.
Yeah. Nowhere near as good, but it's definitely better than nothing. So the good thing about sulforaphane is that it activates NRF2. That's one of the most powerful anti-inflammatory pathways in the body.
Good for
It
cancer too.
hugely good for cancer. It increases glutathione. Glutathione is the most important nutrient for your liver. It reduces NF kappa B, which is one of the most inflammatory cytokines in your bodies, and it's regularly tested in your bloods. So if NF kappa B is high, they will always go hunting for cancer and things like that. It supports liver clearance of your histamines and cytokines, and it reduces oxidative stress, so it helps to calm mast cells.
That's quite good.
So that's the first one. Let's look at a few herbs. So these are, there's great ones out there. So things like albizia and Bakel skullcap are really specific for histamines. So albizia reduces histamine release. We've got the albizia complex up there on the shelf. We've got it in liquid as well. And then the Bakalan in the Bakel skullcap stabilizes our mast cells. And then quercetin-rich herbs. So quercetin is in the family of vitamin C. So all of the things we've got that are high in quercetin are really good for it as well. In fact, 2,000 micrograms a day of quercetin, in say the albizia, anyway, we've got some formulas with good doses of quercetin. Generally, about 4 a day is 2 grams, and 2 grams is what we need to really calm the farm with mast cells. Nigella sativa, that's a black pepper. Chamomile and turmeric. So there's some nice little options there with herbs. And then getting into nutrient pathways, there's a thing called DAO, diamine oxidase. And what diamine oxidase does is helps to bind and take histamines out of the gut. Then things like vitamin C, again, that whole vitamin C liver.
So you've just got down.
Yeah, so it's diamine oxidase.
Yeah.
I know what it is. Yeah.
No, but you've got that. Just by itself, huh?
Yeah, I think it's and then it's like one per meal, because the idea is to stimulate your own gut making it, because sometimes the body has forgotten how to make it because it's so overwhelmed. It just gets lazy, because if your body's in hyperactivity all the time, your body just goes, why would I bother trying to deal with this?
Oh, okay.
So it actually lowers the
Oh, your body
threshold.
just, your body goes, I don't care.
Your body goes,
I don't think
I
so.
can't keep up.
I can't care.
I can't care. Yeah. So things like magnesium. I love magnesium citrate for this, because it also helps to bind with oxalates
Right.
as well as helps to release some of the histamines. B6, it has to be the activated form as well. Same with folate. They're also really good for binding histamine and releasing them. And of course, glutathione, which we mentioned before. You can get powdered and liquid and liposomal glutathione.
I sell activation, break down the methylation path.
Oh, it,
Break down the
yeah,
connections
so
between
it makes it
things.
way harder for the body to methylate toxins and release
What
it,
if they swell or
because
something?
they're too overloaded.
Right. Trying to picture what these little cells do. Sent it all throughout the body in
Oh,
the
yeah. So they're just
tissue.
constantly on, and this is why it's a more modern phenomenon, because we have so many more toxins these
And we've
days.
also got better measuring tools. I mean, the way they can manage to see how neuroreceptors and hormones work now are really incredible for counselors.
Well, I can
You just
say
go, wow.
Anyway, there's something I won't say because I know there's been a very specific pharmaceutical intervention that has made endometriosis and polycystic ovarian syndrome go up through the roof.
Well,
So,
I'm a counselor. I don't deal with that stuff.
well, I do.
No,
And in 2002,
I'm
there
just
was a
kidding.
massive uptick in polycystic ovarian syndrome and endometriosis. There's a very specific reason for it.
Oh, you can say that if you want. Will I be offended?
HPV vaccines. When they started making every woman on the planet take it when they were 8 to 13 years old,
What's HP?
it's the cervical cancer vaccine. So it's for the human papillomavirus.
Oh,
And since there is
it's to
something
have
about that,
some sort of side effects.
there's huge amounts of side
Well, there's
effects.
side effects in everything, so we don't need to pretend.
No, so, but that particular one, since then, the polycystic ovaries and endometriosis, if you do not get to the, because I see it all the time in the bioresonance as well, the HP.
2003.
Is that when it was?
Was it 2003?
2002, I thought. But simultaneously, because the other thing that happened in 2002 is that this agreement was reached worldwide where food had to be dead to cross borders. So everyone started spraying everything with glyphosate to go from America to Australia or Australia to India or India to.
Glyphosate's really healthy. They should use more of it.
Yeah, that's a yeah, definitely. So, but what glyphosate does is
Good work.
destroys your villi in your intestines and
Glyphosate. That's
glyphosate, and
horrible.
it demineralizes us and it does all sorts of horrible things. So anyway, there's been some very specific things that have upticked polycystic ovarian syndrome or whatever they call it now, as well as endo. And 100% of the time in my clinic, I say, "Did you get those jabs?" They say yes. And then I test them on the table for mast cell activation syndrome. It's always there. So it's.
It's a bit ironic, isn't it? The technology, in the last 200 years, it's just been this incredible magic that the humans have made. But there's the side effects of it.
Yeah.
And the side effects are coming through in really depleted environment and depleted and difficulties with food,
Yeah.
which are, even though we can make a lot more of it,
Yeah.
the quality of things has gone down and the, so, and the overall environmental side effects, like neuroplastics
Well, you know,
and
the.
things found in the air and environment. I mean, they did a study in Brisbane last year, and they found that the load, like they went around and measured roofs and cars for what was on them,
Yeah.
and they found it was 100 times worse than they thought it was.
Yeah.
And that was on the ABC, so that's pretty well known.
I thought you were going to say well respected, and I thought not in my circles, but anyway.
No,
But that's cool. No, that's cool.
but every news organization isn't perfect all the time, and some are
Mm.
better than others, and some are better at some things than others.
So here comes one of your areas of specialty. So the things that help to calm mast cell are nervous system regulation tools.
Right.
So all the stuff, you know, the stuff we talk about all the time, breath work and vagus nerve stimulation and cold exposure and grounding and gentle movement
Right.
and somatic therapies,
So
all
taking
of that.
a holistic lifestyle approach
Yeah.
to get it from all different angles.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking about one of my clients at the moment, and I'm wondering whether Morgellons disease might be linked because, you know, it's getting more and more prevalent at the moment, and it's Morgellons can be linked to, you know, Lyme disease and chronic Epstein-Barr and mold to, you know, mold to all sorts of things.
Well, it's hard for people to even understand too.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, so good old mast cells. Where were we up to? Do. Sorry, guys. Yeah, so the nervous system regulation, yeah, all those good stuff that we regularly talk about. Detox clearance is the next. Because if the mast cells are overactivated, we've got to clear out some of these extra 1,200 chemicals that are building up in our bodies because our mast cells are going, oh my God, danger, danger, Will Robinson, all the time. So we've got to be sweating.
Exercise.
We've got to be exercising,
Doing
moving our lymph.
getting your cardio up so important,
Yeah.
because not only because doing exercise that is has enough positive stress to get
Yeah.
things going, it produces a whole range of positive neurochem
Yeah.
neuro like especially endorphins, and then later it has a side effect. Like just running, for example, I can't do it with my knee anymore, but it just makes depression go away.
Yeah.
Just, I remember when I used to run 3 times a week, there was no depression ever. It was just on top of things.
Yeah.
And and then once you get that stop, finding a new way to do it, but the release of endorphins, because they're pain relievers.
Yeah.
And so your body naturally does it when you get a good exercise routine up.
Yeah.
And the latest studies have shown exercise is about the best thing you can do.
It's so good
For
for everything.
anything at all, it's
Yep.
just the best thing you can do. I think the study showed exercise and yoga, if you do those things, there's not, they kind of cover a lot of
They
areas.
do. Yeah. Yeah. So we've got to, so for detox, get that hydration up, make sure you're taking your Celtic sea salt or something like that. Got to get those minerals back in your body if you're sweating. Don't forget that. If you're sweating and you're drinking too much purified water, that's great, but you've got to get those minerals in as well.
You know how people take electrolytes?
Yep.
Are those things found in diet? What
Well,
are they exactly?
yes, well, it's potassium, magnesium, sodium, and so it's the right combination to get your sodium
And
potassium pump.
magnesium.
Yeah, magnesium. Yeah, so if your sodium potassium pump isn't working properly, you're not getting nutrients into your cells and waste products out.
Right.
And Celtic sea salt's got 82
Oh, I
minerals.
see. So they're doing that.
Yeah. And that Celtic sea salt's got four different types of magnesium and anyway, lots of good stuff.
But
So,
you sell electrolytes,
yeah.
and there's like about 40 of them in there.
Oh, no. There's about
20, there's a lot.
no, there's not that many. No, it's there's about, because there's usually like the other ingredients might be excipients and things like that,
Okay.
so that they
Now, you know
stabilize in the
the big
container.
powdered one?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things.
Yeah, because I think there's a bit of creatine in that one, and so there's some other things for muscle growth and stuff, but the actual electrolytes, there's only four, it's really simple.
Oh,
Yeah.
good.
But
That's it. People are fasting,
yes.
and they need to keep that stuff going while they're
Oh,
fasting.
100%,
And
otherwise their brain could explode.
the other problem having people are fasting is a lot of them have got a lot of sweetener in them,
Yeah, they do.
so they can't get to ketosis,
Yeah.
which is frustrating.
Yes. Yes. And that's why Celtic sea salt is good. No calories, stick it straight on your tongue.
Well.
Yeah, nice and easy. Got to do liver support, whatever that means in your world. A lot of people are using red lights and stuff. You can actually put red light over your liver to really stimulate that. We can use things like.
I was in Coles the other day, and they were selling all this red light stuff.
Yeah, right.
I was surprised to see it.
If it's cheap and nasty, it's probably not very useful.
Well,
There's very specific
it's just
frequencies of red
about
lights. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
like the other day, blood pressure machines were like $20 or something, and I just thought, wow, that's just so cheap.
That is cheap. Yeah, we've got to reduce the toxic load in gut repair. So people, it's the awareness of what's in our house as well. People are often just not aware. Start looking at labels. If you're buying clothes that only have four wears in them because they're so cheap and nasty and you're bought online and they smell like plastic when they arrive, that's all getting into our skin. So it's another reason why mast cells can
That's
be
the
up
other
to,
microplastics are coming off your
oh my
clothes.
gosh, absolute 100% they are, of
I've
course.
got a friend who's doing marathons in India, and he's only wearing cotton, just as a protest. It's like the thing he's doing is called paper shoes,
Yep.
but he's just doing marathons in India and very toxic place. And it's a microplastics awareness
Yeah,
campaign.
right. Interesting. The funny thing we thought when we were in India, we went to the rat temple.
Right.
So the rat temple, there's like thousands of rats that live there, and someone believes 1,000 years ago that one of his ancestors turned into a rat. So now it's a rat temple, and people can go along
As they
that way,
do.
as they do anyway. So all very funny. And but the funny thing was that in India they sell everything to everyone, and we thought it was amusing that there was no one outside selling like little little footsies, because you had to take your shoes off, so you actually had to walk through the rat crap with bare feet. And my friend Steph, she's like, ah! Anyway, and we thought, man, they've missed the boat here. Why isn't someone outside selling them for $5? All of the the white pretty Westerners would have, or can I say that, can they would have bought them in a heartbeat. Anyway, just funny.
India is such an amazing place,
It was
isn't
very cool. It was very
it?
funny to us. Anyway, so now
Rat
foods.
temple. It's probably Ganesh. Ganesh has a little rat with
Yeah,
him.
right.
The mongoose, actually,
Yeah.
but I'm sure there'll probably be a connection there.
So now let's talk about foods and inputs that increase mast cell reactivity. So what does it? So firstly, high histamine foods.
Right, what are they?
So fermented foods.
Oh, okay,
So
ferment.
you know everything's good for everyone? No, it's not. So if you've got MCAS, the fermented foods are not good for you. Aged foods are not good for
Oh, they're
you.
not good for you.
Leftovers and alcohol are not good for you. These
Oh.
are high histamine foods that reactivate your already irritated mast cells.
Well, that's interesting because fermented foods, like in so many things now,
Sauerkraut and kimchi
on
and
TV or everywhere, they're talking about how important it is to
yep, and my
have.
brain always goes, unless you've got
Right, okay.
MCAS.
That's
Always. So
they've become such a thing in dietitians that it's like you must include your kimchi
yeah,
or your
and I have
sauerkraut.
so many people who get sick with them.
And
So
10 years ago, nobody ate that at all much. Like you'd have, you know, you've got all your pickled foods which are fermented, like pickled onions and that sort of thing. There's a whole shelf of them in the supermarket.
So high oxalate foods. So the healthiest foods on the planet, like spinach and almonds and sweet potato and beetroot, and so there's a huge list out there of high oxalate foods. They also irritate the crap out of mast cells when we've got mast cell activation syndrome. Blood sugar. Anything that makes your blood sugar be less stable, or your sugar and caffeine and ultra processed foods.
Caffeine.
Yeah,
Gee,
because it causes a
you're
spike.
taking all the joy out of life.
They can have carob.
No, I guess.
Oh, actually, dark chocolate is really high in oxalates too. That's always a funny one. So, but yeah, blood sugar disruptors. So we've got to have those good fats in our diet, whatever that is for you. Not the activated nuts, because a lot of nuts and seeds are really high in oxalates. So got to go low histamine, low oxalate, low blood sugar.
Yeah, just drink water.
And then environmental triggers, so a lot of people, the MCAS people, they can't walk down the aisle of the supermarket that sells all the smelly chemicals. They get overloaded, they come out and then they're exhausted for a day or two.
Overstimulated.
So they need to just stay around the outside of the supermarkets where all the real food is.
Right.
Avoid the middle rows. And learn how to clean without all the nasty chemicals, because all those fragrances and
What
molds
are
and chemicals,
EMFs there?
electromagnetic frequencies from our phones and delights, and I mean, we're filled with EMFs these days.
Look, the environment's become so bad, we're just going to have to become more resilient.
Well, this is what helps us become more resilient.
Yeah.
So, okay. So let's just do a little bit of an overview. So, polycystic ovarian syndrome is now metabolic reproductive syndrome. And why does it matter?
Because it's called Mrs. It's a
Yeah.
married thing.
So, it's metabolism plus inflammatory plus immune system stuff all really combines for
MRS.
that M. That is funny, MRS.
Yeah, it's Mrs.
And then MCAS is a multi-system condition. Mast
Yeah.
cells are in every single organ, and they have over 1,200 chemicals they release.
Mrs.
Mrs. and Maccas.
and Maccas.
And then the GLP-1 and GIP, you have receptors on the mast cells. That's just amazing. So that's the immune metabolic endocrine connection, within the mast cell activation syndrome. MCAS has over 40 linked conditions, and they're across the board: immune system, neurological, hormonal, metabolic, gut, and connective tissue. And why do mast cells become overactive? Because of stress and toxins, infections, hormones, gut, and old traumas and calming stuff.
Old traumas, what's that?
Old traumas, well, it's one of the things in the stress. So traumas will just keep your body hyperactive. I'm thinking that it probably keeps your Moro reflex. The Moro reflex is the reflex in the womb, and we did a video on that recently.
Yeah,
And
I was doing Moro reflex exercises at home, and I noticed that you're really compressing the vagus nerve when you do that, because you're really pushing it in.
but then you're also opening it up. So you're doing
Yeah,
both.
yeah.
You're coming in and then you're opening it up. So a bit of both. The natural mast cell calming strategies: sulforaphane, lots of herbs, nutrients, nervous systems, and detoxing. You've got to detox. Histamine clearance and dietary triggers, they end up being empowering because there is a solution. There
Can
are
I just ask
solutions.
one question? These GLP thing.
Yep.
Can we find out what foods have those precursors?
Yeah, so a lot of the things like keto diets are really beneficial. And all the so what foods are precursors to the GLP-1,
I just
GLP-2,
love
and
nutrition
GIP?
and using it where you can, because it's something that people can have more easily control over in a long term, in a long term way. If once you, if you can change your diet, you can change it fairly permanently for a while, once you get the courage to do it.
So the three incretins, just a bit of an overview, they're released by the enteroendocrine cells in the gut when food arrives. So GLP-1 and GLP-2 are released by from the L cells in the ileum and the colon, so more the large intestine, and GIP is released from the K cells, mostly in the duodenum and jejunum, so that's the small intestine.
Oh.
So different foods stimulate them differently.
So they're all intestinal. Okay.
But there's also receptors all throughout the body. So there's receptors in the vagus nerve, receptors in the
These foods
brain.
have the precursors.
So GLP-1's particularly stimulated by protein, eggs and fish and lean meats, whey and legumes. So protein's one of the strongest natural
In
GLP-1
other words,
triggers.
dairy and legumes for the veggies.
Yes. And
Legumes, what
then
are legumes? Like
that's like your
beans and
your chickpeas and things like
oh,
that. So
chickpeas are good for
I
everything,
think
just
even
about.
peanuts are a legume.
Right.
Not if you've got FODMAPs, but
Yeah.
that's not involved in MCAS. So, or is it? No, anyway. So healthy fats, your olive oil, avocado, nuts, seeds, omega-3 rich foods.
Oh.
So fats slow your gastric emptying and therefore you end up with more GLP-1 release.
Seeds, nuts, and avocados. I mean, you can live on that.
If you don't have oxalate issues.
If you don't have oxalate issues.
Because all three of those can be very
So
high
that's
in
fats and
oxalates.
protein.
And then your soluble fiber and resistant starches. So these feed the gut bacteria. So they produce short chain fatty acids, which massively increases GLP-1. So things like oats and barley, legumes, chia, flax, green bananas, and cooked and cooled rice or potatoes. Again, a lot of these are not appropriate for MCAS people.
Green bananas. Who needs green
There's
bananas?
actually green banana flour you can buy.
Oh.
Like it's something that is very low reactive for people who have a lot of health issues.
Right.
It's not cheap, but I've had people using green banana flour for many years.
But you can eat green bananas, they're just not sweet. Would they give you stomach cramps or something? I have some memory of that.
I'm not sure, and it depends on our
They make green banana curry in India.
And then this is the one that'll be your favorite, the polyphenol-rich foods. So they're the beautiful colors of the rainbow. So your berries, your pomegranates, green teas, cocos, red cabbage, and herbs and spices.
All high fiber.
All high fiber, but also colorful and full of polyphenols. And then the things that increase GLP-2, it's the gut repair incretin or the
Right.
peptide hormone. So it's stimulated by
This
amino
comes
acids,
from
so
the, so
proteins.
this comes from the gut. So before you get to the intestines.
No, this one's in the intestines.
Right.
So amino acids, so it's stimulated by amino acids or short chain fatty acids from fiber, fermentation, healthy fats, and prebiotic fibers. So again, the best foods are your legumes, your oats, your garlic and onions, your leeks and asparagus, Jerusalem artichokes, bananas, whole grains, and nuts and seeds. And again, my brain is going through that list and saying it's great if you don't have FODMAPs, oxalates, or histamine issues. And unfortunately, MCAS is about allergies. Like it's hugely involved in
Sure.
allergies.
Yes, that's right.
So anything that feeds the microbiome.
Allergies, that's where people take the histamine most often, isn't it?
So, but not necessarily food allergies.
I've never had histamine, so I don't really know what it's about.
GIP. That one is released earlier in digestion in the upper small intestine. It responds to carbohydrates, whole grains, fruits, root vegetables, and legumes, as well as fat. It loves the fat again. So olive oils, avocados, nuts, seeds, dairy fats. So the mixed meals with carbs, fat, and protein produce the strongest GIP response.
Mostly vegetarian food. Up the top there was all the stuff,
The
meats and stuff.
GLP-1 was, that was the main one with the meats and fish. So the most powerful incretin boosters for GLP-1, GLP-2, and GIP legumes support, you do love your legumes. So beans, lentils, and chickpeas
Yeah, you pretty
stimulate.
much already said these things, the main points, you got it right. Keep the fam again. What are they?
So
Late.
the legumes stimulate GLP-1, GLP-2, and GIP through protein, fiber, and resistant starch. Oats and barley are high in beta-glucans, so that's a huge one for GLP-1 and GLP-2 release. The healthy fats, olive oils, nuts, seeds, avocados, they're the strongest GIP and GLP-1 stimulation. Your fermentable fibers, onions, garlic, leeks, asparagus, and bananas, they feed the microbiome, the short-chain fatty acids, which leads to an increase in GLP-1 and GLP-2. Your protein-rich foods, here's the one you mentioned, so your eggs, your fish, your poultry, your legumes, that stimulates GLP-1 and GLP-2. And your polyphenol-rich foods, your berries, your green tea, and cocoa enhance GLP-1 signaling. So that's a nice little overview. I think that's good.
Well, that was a lot
It
of
was a lot of
information
information.
and a lot of complicated word.
Sorry about that, everyone, but muscle, there are solutions. And people often have never thought of all of their symptoms to go, holy crap, it's one thing. Because we're not treated like that when we go medically. Medically, they want to put us in a little category and send us to a specialist.
Well, generally, I was doing some experimentation with looking at different polarized groups, and in some ways there's a bit of an argument between the medical and the natural model. And one thing I noted about the comparison was that generally natural therapy is more in the preventative section, right? They because it's this is really good, more preventative, and preventative is better because you're nipping it in the bud early. Whereas a lot of medicines are emergency medicines because you don't use them until your body hits the wall, like you have a heart attack or you have something really major happen. And so in counseling, there's a one type of therapy, it's called positive therapy, and it's a similar, it's considered to be preventative therapy, which is the superior type in a lot of ways, because a lot of therapy you do, you wait till the person has the emergency, they've got the trauma or they've got chronic stress, and you have to do counseling because otherwise if you don't get rid of the stress, you're going to have a heart attack or something. They can pre fairly predictable what'll happen. Yeah, but I really like the preventative, like and this
I
approach.
would say that about 10% of my people are preventative. Probably
Right.
90% are actually trying to fix a problem that
Sure.
has not been able to be
I
fixed.
realize that, but it's like just saying, because I think preventative is a more positive thing. If you can get the information early, like, we've got the internet available, we can find things out now that we couldn't find things out before. And so people should be able to adopt a more early intervention through preventative, through information like this, like making videos like this. You can actually get the things so you can work it out before it becomes an emergency. And like your clients also, they're in the emergency phase.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Right, so you deal with a lot of emergency medicine too.
100%. Like my guy who was 26% heart function. He was ready to have a pacemaker put in, and we got him.
He's good now.
He had no problem 3 weeks later. They could not find a problem with his heart. I had him on a ton of stuff, don't get me wrong. He was taking 1200 milligrams a day of CoQ10. He was taking 12 stem enhance a day to increase the stem cell production, and one of the first places it goes is the heart. He was
Love
taking
him and him today.
12 stem enhance a day, which is a really munted dose. And he was taking about
Hinted.
munted, when someone's really munted, they need a lot of work,
Oh.
and it's a technical term. And he was taking about 240 mils of Asira a day, which also has a magical effect on the heart.
Oh, he was taking really big doses of
Yeah,
stuff.
that's what I said. I had him on anyway. So 3 weeks later, they could not find anything wrong with him, and they tried for 3 hours. And at the end, he said to his doctor, he said, "Well, what can possibly have happened? I had 26% heart function 3 weeks ago." And he came back to me and he said, "You need to talk to me about what just happened." And I said, "Well, when you give your body what it needs, it can heal."
That's
Anyway.
no, but that's really high quality preventative. Even though they went for emergency treatment primarily, you go with the preventative model, and it's up
Well, we
ahead of.
prevented him dying of a 26% heart failure function.
Yeah, that's a tight little
Because
bit.
everyone dies in his family between, 50 and 55 with heart disease,
Okay.
so there's a long history of bad hearts in his family.
He's older than them now already.
Yeah.
He's winning.
He's winning. Anywho, okay, good one. Good
Lucky
one,
back,
David.
well done.
Excellent. Okay. Let us know if there's anything else you want us to do a video on, and we'll see you again soon.
Okay, love your work, everyone.
Excellent. Have fun.